ओम शांति। How was your experience? It's very useful before we sit down to meditate to prepare, like you're preparing a conversation with some very important person, you think about it beforehand. So preparing to talk to God, there's a lot of topics we could talk about, right? It's an essential part of our meditation practice. Not always, but definitely a major part of our meditation should be a heart-to-heart conversation about important things. So how are you feeling? Okay? Have a good conversation? I know it was short, but so we continue. I'm going to talk a little bit about building teams. And as you'll see here, this is very relevant for instruments of centers. Of course, if you're not an instrument of the center, you can check your own center if it works like that. But often when you set up a group, maybe it's not necessarily a center, but let's say a department, you're setting up a department in the center, the kitchen department, for example. Generally, there's one person who, I've put the person in the middle with the word be. I'm sorry that it's a little bit small, but I can explain exactly what it is. Be means someone who's the boss or the leader of that department, and the people that come around initially in the first phase, they are like followers. They are following the lead, because the other half of leadership is followership. If you don't have any followers, you're not a leader, basically. Doesn't mean that in a religious sense that you're a follower of someone, but you are listening to them and agreeing to move with them related to a particular task. So in the first phase, there's generally the communication is one way, because the person who's been put there responsible probably has the experience and knows what has to be done. So they give the instructions. There are some places that are like that 20 years afterwards. There's one person in the middle calling all the shots and no one has a voice. I've seen it in the Brahma Kumaris. Of course, it doesn't grow. A second level would be still persons like a boss, but there's two-way communication now. So they are not any longer followers, they are collaborators. They are helping. But there's a two-way communication now, there's feedback. But still, very clearly, that person holds the reins. Have you seen any bossy people in Gyan? What are you laughing about? Problem with Brahmins is that many of them are being kings. And so they come into Gan and they have that experience of having been a king. But it just doesn't work, kings with other kings, right? So there are also centres after many years that are still like that. One person in the centre organising everything and believes that he or she has all of the answers. It's not realistic. When we did the global functioning, that was in about 10 to 15 years ago, and I was part of the secretariat. There were three of us. It was Judy, Gayatri and myself. And we did a whole lot of how that came about. Maybe you don't know. But we had for the first time a meeting between the seniors in India and the seniors outside of India. And we were exploring what are the issues that come up in the Brahmin family. And as people were speaking, I was mapping everything using some mind mapping software in real time. So people were speaking, everything's being organized in real time on the screen. And we ended up creating seven different groups according to the issues. But one of the things that was very much apparent and why we did it is that there was a need for inclusion. People wanted to feel included. People come into a centre and they don't know where they fit. So how can I be included? And of course, if you've ever been excluded, you also, it's not a nice experience, right? You think that you are, or we think we are better than we really are, or worse than we really are. So we started throughout the yajna, the formation of teams to coordinate countries or teams to coordinate centres, rather than one person. Why? Because not in all cases, but normally one person in this chaotic world doesn't have all of the answers. And just because you've been more years in Gyan does not mean that you are a senior person. A senior person is an attitude rather than a number of years in Gyan. So you can have people that are much more responsible than others because of their dedication, because of their surrender, because of their easiness, because of the beauty of their personality, whatever. So this breaking this system of someone holding on to the control in a very strong way was not easy. Some people were absolute controllers, dictators, little dictators. And of course, that's not what Baba wants. He wants us to be Baba's instruments. And it's funny because I've seen people complaining about the person coordinating their center, and then later on they get a chance and they do exactly the same thing that they were complaining about. So why is it that you get a role and suddenly your ego becomes big? Whatever you're doing, actually that's your test as well, isn't it? So a third possibility, some places the coordinator was actually quite according to best practices, so we didn't really get involved. But some places really needed some urgent treatment. So a third phase, and you have to check here, you're not working with collaborators. You're working with potential leaders. And you are not in the centre anymore. That team is working. It's not a group of people, it's a team. And this is a big difference. You know, you can put 6 or 7 or 8 or 10 people together. It's just a group of people working together, but it's not the same as a team. A team means that they're working together. And this is perhaps our ideal vision of how our centre should run. And still is. So if you are the one that's helping those people develop their qualities, a leader develops other leaders. That's what Brahma Baba did. How, look at the daddies and how he empowered them. So if I'm working with others and they are helping me, my main responsibility is to empower them, to give them the feeling of spiritual strength. And so if I'm that sort of leader for helping to form other leaders, then I can actually work, can create other teams. So this jump from the phase 2 to a phase 3 is really about opening up and really inspiring others to do the things. I'm going to share with you here, many years I've been working with not just the South America, but what's called Latin America. That means all of the Portuguese and Spanish speaking countries in the Americas. That's called Latin America. Actually includes French, because French is the Latin language, but we don't have much relationship with the French colonies in that part of the world. But I set up a team to help coordinate the whole region. And just to give you some idea, the organizational model that I used was a lotus flower, not a pyramid, right? Often you see organizational charts and they're sort of like a pyramid. Boss, big boss, second big boss, third big boss, like that. But Baba never really has said that we have to set up a hierarchy based on that sort of structure. You'll never find Baba talking about that. Baba's way of working, as far as I can understand, it's not autocracy. It's not democracy. I call it respectocracy. Because there's the genuine feeling of respecting people's opinion. At least I work in the RC group. No decisions are taken unilaterally. None. Everything is discussed. And we only really go ahead if there's consensus. So it's really bringing Baba into the conversation. We don't have a vote. All those in favour, hand up. We don't do that ever. And I'm talking about the main committee of the Brahma Kumaris outside of India. That's how we make decisions. What does Baba want? What looks like the best thing for everyone? And we talk around that. And then we make the decision by consensus. So what I did in Latin America, just to give you an idea, these people, I called this group of trustees, you know, some of them, Moira, Yolanda, Noni from Peru, Marianne from Costa Rica, Anne from Guatemala, Marcelo from Colombia, and also Luciana from Brazil. And so they meet once a week, and I sit with them once a month, actually. And each one of them looks after one or the other department. This is, I'm talking about the whole region, like 17 countries. And the idea is to have this sort of model in our centres as well, in our different countries. Like, it's an organic thing. The flower grows and the petals come. So you've got different departments, right? You've got internal programs, you've got education, that means training and development of teachers and courses, care and well-being, sustenance of the NCs and so on, IT. We've got communication, we've also got administrative things. So all of the things that we have in common, we have one way of working with them. And we come to a consensus around that. And it's easy. I mean, it's not difficult because it's easy because of Baba, honestly. It becomes less easy if egos are involved. Sometimes you see a little tiny center and there are five or six people and they can't get on with each other and they spend their whole time bickering and fighting. Let's have a higher vision of things. And as far as I know, there are no regions working like that in the whole world. So it's really beautiful to see how people, there's unity, real unity, because of allowing people to be included. So what happens, there's a failure in communication often. You've probably seen it. Probably the biggest subject that we have as an organization, I'm talking from an organizational point of view, the biggest area of concern is actually communication. Because look at this example. You've got a solution as visualized by the national coordinator. So if you remember, this course is for national coordinators and center coordinators. So that's how the national coordinator visualized what was needed. And this is the opinion of the core service team and the board, because they have to, often the board has to, like the board of directors, looking at financial, legal and administrative aspects, as well as the spiritual aspects. There's a lot of decisions that involve both of those areas. We want to start a retreat center. So spiritually, that's a good thing. But administratively, legally and finance-wise, it's another thing. So you have to get everyone together. So this is what the NC visualized. This is what the core service team wanted. This is how it was produced in the guidelines. Gets worse, huh? This is how the center coordinator instructed to do that project. And this is what the group of center collaborators managed to install. And this is what the center really needed. This is how the whole project was supported. And this is what was documented. Nothing. Does that happen? So what's the main problem here? Communication, but what's the main problem? This one here. No one sat down to figure out exactly what the center needed. Everyone had their opinion. Everyone had their expertise. But what did the center really need is this one. There's also a problem of communication with the ongoing support. There's no support, actually. And we're hopeless, absolutely hopeless, I think, because I worked in the Lockheed world. There's something called knowledge management. What it is that anything that's good, we document it so that others can learn from it. Anything that has benefit outside of my little place, it could be from my little place there's something so fantastic that would help the whole world, but we don't know about it. No one takes the trouble to sit down and write down the steps exactly what was done. So, I mean, there's a lot of opportunity, and this is when I first started to look after Latin America. We were translating a lot of material from English into Spanish and Portuguese. And so when we found out that this place was translating the same book as this other place, so you can imagine the amount of work that's being wasted. This document was being translated here, but also there. So we said, okay, let's finish with this. Let's unify our translation at least, so that we can save time, save money, save energy. So we set up a scheme that would help us. And fortunately, Latin America is useful, but most of the country speaks Spanish, and Portuguese is similar to Spanish. Not like Europe, you've got a different language every 100 kilometers, right? So it's easier. But we've started to make sure that what we do, for example, we had in Brazil in 2012, we developed a distance education program. That means the course online, but with teachers. So we had a very robust presence online even before the pandemic. So we developed this course, and people would come, and thousands did it. So instead of reinventing the wheel, we translated that course into Spanish, and then we started to produce it in Spanish, the same material. So the whole thing is done in such a way. All of this is what is called teamwork. Teamwork can achieve much more than individuals can achieve. Teams can achieve much more. And since most of our projects in Brahma Kumaris are quite complex, we need to work in teams. So we need to understand what builds teams, what are good teams, how do they work, you know. I think I'll skip this. You can read it when you do. But there's one basic step of delegation. You fix the task, you understand what it requires, you figure out who's capable of doing what and who is able to do the task in terms of time and bhavana. Many times we have to do tasks that we don't know how to do. But we have the good feeling that we can learn, right? So that's the case of a lot of us. Who here is a teacher of the course? Hand up, those who are teachers of the course. Because when you came to Gyan, were you a teacher of Gyan? No. So you learnt that skill. You were put into a situation, Baba used you. So a lot of the things we learn, because our organization does not hire and doesn't fire either. We were not hiring and firing organization. We have to involve people. We have to convince people. We have to persuade people. And that requires the art of leadership. After you figure out who's available, you select the most suitable person, then you check your level of trust, your feelings. You have to, if you're delegating, you have to explain exactly what the task is and what's expected. You have to, this is a very important step, you have to provide the necessary authority for the person. You know, you give them an authority to do the task, and then you take the rug out from under their feet, right? You're not doing it right. You lost that person forever, probably. So this is the main step. They clarify the decision making. So there are things in our yajna which are already decided. We have a book of systems, we have a big guidebook called Yajna Systems and Standards of Good Practice, which talks about all of the administrative and accounting and legal requirements for our centres. We have another manual about how to deal with students and all sorts of things. There are ways, you know. For example, we don't charge money for our courses, so you can't make that decision. It's prohibited in the Brahmakumaris to charge for anything. So there are things that that are already decided that we do not decide upon. Then if you're the delegator, you have to make it clear what, in this project, what you decide. And in this project, what the other person decides. What the delegatee decides. And, of course, what you have to decide together. Right? If you make those things clear, you'll have less problems. If you just give the task to someone and you think that the person is going to do it in the way that you think that they're going to do it, it's probably going to create problems. Yeah? It has to be clear. It has to be who decides what, how, when. If you do this, it's exhaustive in the beginning, but it saves time later on. Things are not just achieved by goodwill alone. There has to be some sort of instruction happening. In fact, there's that expression, the path to hell is paved by the good wishes of many. The path to hell is paved by the good wishes of many. So it's not good wishes alone that will get things done, it's clarity. What to do, how to do. Do we have the expertise? If not, let's hire somebody and show us, or get someone from another place to show us. That's how we work. So let's just skip here. Then after you've worked out who's going to decide what, you arrange to keep in contact with some feedback, and if necessary, you hope to get the task started. I mean, that's the basic sequence of how to delegate. And if we do this, as I said before, there are lots of things in the Brahma course we really need to improve. This is one of them. We need to understand how to delegate, who to delegate to, what to delegate, you know, so many different things. So there are three types of leader. Let's see which one are you. There's a leader who's like a supervisor. Supervisor, from Latin, super means from above. Visor means to see, right? So a supervisor is someone who's seeing everything from above and giving the instructions. And these are two words that are invented. Intervisor means to see between, together with. So you're seeing from above and you're giving instructions, but you're also seeing together with someone. That means you're sitting and talking to the main people and getting some feedback. I mean, and then finally, there's the intravisor, means to see within. So there are three seers, from above, between, and within. Now, do you know someone who's like 24 hours a day, the supervisor, just giving instructions, bossy? Do you know anyone like that? Do it like this, do it like that, go here, go here, go here. Wait a minute. Can I express my opinion, sir or madam? No, I'm the boss here, you shut up. Do you know someone like that? Some people are saying yes. So to see within, to be a supervisor is actually only necessary in urgent situations. That you show that you can see everything. So the house is burning down. It's not the time to say to people, okay, folks, let's sit down and have a meeting to see if we put this fire out with a hose or with a bucket. What do you think? That's not the time to be an intervisor. If you're the supervisor, you're the leader, get the bucket. You do this. So that sort of ability is necessary. Someone who's got a strong wrist, right, or can face things. The leader who sort of faints in the face of a difficult situation is not a leader. It's the time to show your leadership. So that's really only for urgent. And being a supervisor should be sometimes. Sometimes, especially when it's urgent. Intervisor would be most of the time. You're talking with the people, you're talking with your team, you're asking what do you think, what's your opinion, what's the best way forward, let's talk. So most of the time. And intravisor, introspection, all of the time. So supervisor some of the time, intervisor most of the time, and intravisor all of the time. Got it? And so I asked this question yesterday. Are people happier when you arrive or when you leave? Think about it. Or are they indifferent? It doesn't make any difference. Your presence makes no difference at all. That's a terrible, you know? You can be here, you can be not, it doesn't matter. I mean, if your presence in Gyan and in service is defined by it doesn't matter, I mean, what are you doing? Doesn't mean that leadership is not a popularity contest, but you should have a positive impact on the things and on the people that you work with. Yeah? Because how do your service companions feel with you? Think about it. Are they inspired by you? Are they respectful towards you? Are they affectionate? They have some affection for you? Or are they indifferent? Or frustrated with you? Or distrustful? Or they're afraid of you? Or they're angry with you? How do people feel about you in service? Do they think, oh my God, not her again, not him again? Just, there she is, there he is, on and on and on about the same topic. Let's not pay attention. So, you know, they're frustrated with you. And check this one too. What about you with the people that you work with, the people that you report to? Probably some center coordinator or some national coordinator or some team, national team, or some regional coordinator. Or are you on the periphery of everything and not sort of involved at all? So how do your seniors feel about you? It's the same, right? Are they angry with you? Are they afraid of you? They're distrustful of you, they're indifferent to you, so on. What do you think? What do you think? And so if we come down to the details here, the most effective teams are those that share information openly. And someone said before, actively listening. What is that person trying to say? What do they mean? You know? Trying really hard to understand each other. If it's an effective team, like a good football team, when they were younger, participated in a very successful sports team? Who here, like a cricket team or a football team or a hockey team, who has been in a very good team in the past? Yeah? And what did you notice there in the team? What sort of things were there?
Fun.
Okay. Fun. Good.
Coordination.
What else?
Union.
Huh? Union. Unity. What else? Can't hear you.
Motivation.
Motivation. Yeah, aims, goals. Goals.
Group effort,
yeah. Group effort. So when you're in a team, everyone depends on everyone, right? So let's say in a soccer team, the forwards go forward because they know that their defense is going to work. So not everyone will be in the attack. You've got some people in the defense, you've got some people in the middle of the field, you've got some people in the attack, right? What if the goalkeeper goes up to play with the center forwards, you know? Everyone has a role. Everyone has a role to play. And the roles are clear. And people trust that the other is going to develop that role very well. So you put that context into your center. Is it a team or just a group of people sort of trying? Have you prepared people? Have you included people? Have you empowered people? Have you encouraged people in the right way? A good team uses all of the resources and the talents. All the talents are somehow used. There's fun, right? The easy, relaxed atmosphere. Friendly. The objectives are very well understood and accepted by everyone. And they don't suppress disagreement. They actually celebrate, because if there's a disagreement, there's something to learn from. Not, we can't disagree here, Baba says we shouldn't disagree, so shut up. No. Let's understand why the person's not agreeing. Yeah? And if there's a conflict, sort it out as soon as possible. Because it will be affecting the whole team. Okay, got it? So this is the essence, actually. Leadership is personal. You can't delegate leadership. You can delegate tasks. But for example, someone needs to be praised in the team. You can't say, can you praise that person for me? It doesn't work. So leadership is personal. It really, Baba says, you have to be beyond praise and defamation, but it helps to say well done, doesn't it? Very well. You did really well. That was a fantastic cake you cooked. Don't have to say something like that, but it helps. You know? the person did 20 good things and one bad things, and then you jump on them because they did some one thing bad. You get it? If you need to correct someone, there are ways to do that. Good ways, positive ways. Non-violent communication ways, right? You can communicate non-violently if you want to help someone understand something. But you can't delegate that sort of conversation. Can you have that corrective conversation in my name? No, you can't delegate that. So leadership is personal. Leadership is the relationship you have with others. And the relationship is the conversation or the interaction you have. So if you don't talk to your people, you're not a leader. You may have a title, but leadership is sitting down and, you know, chatting about the important things. I have a brother who, when I left Australia, he was only, 17 or 18. Less actually, 50. He was only 15. When I left home, he was only 8. So, I can't ever say that I had a close relationship with him. He's my brother, Lockick brother. No relationship. Because he, when I was already overseas, he was killed in an accident. So he's theoretically my brother, but there's no relationship. So do you have a theoretical relationship with someone in the center that you don't talk to? If you don't talk to them, there's no relationship. But there's no relationship. How can you consider yourself to be a leader? Come on. Can't. If you go to Sydney, for example, very beautiful. Charlie's room is next to the Morley room. It's a big centre. The door is always open. You know, in my situation, it's a little bit different because I live in a retreat centre. But door open means what? I'm available. Available. Now, this is another exercise. This will have to be done with by homework. There's a list of adjectives. There are 80 adjectives. 80 adjectives. And the exercise is for you to specify, according to the situation, what are the qualities that you have naturally. If you look at the last 2 years, what are the qualities that you have shown naturally over the last 2 years? In order of priority. Now, since before the pandemic, it's probably better. During the pandemic, many things changed. Many priorities were reorganized. So, you look at these qualities and you say, yes, I'll give 4 points to this one, 3 points to that one, 2 points to that one, and 1 point to this one, according to frequency. And so you get a list of qualities. You're going to do this for your homework. Now, according to this list, and it took me, must have taken days for me to make this list, because I was aware of all of the different psychological profiling that has to be done in organizations, but I decided to create something myself. And so, it seems, and I'm using this system that Baba talks about, the five elements, actually it's Greek, from the Greeks too. You have earth, which is this tree here. You have air, the wind, or then you have fire, water, and ether. Yeah, they're the five elements. So our personalities, in a way. When I say personality, I'm talking about what is most apparent in the way that you interact with others. Some of us are more, let's say, earth, means very pragmatic, very practical, always trying to understand how to do it. You know, what to do, okay? Finish with all of this conversation, let's do it. That will be an earth type person. You've got the fire type people, they're always creating ideas and, you know, they're not particularly interested in how to do it or what to do, but they create the ideas. We need the ideas, right? We need the practical aspect, we need the ideas as well. So let's say you've got a lot of practical people and no ideas, nothing happens. Water types are those that like harmony. They want the people to work better, lovingly, in unity and so on. So you need practical people, you need idea people, and you need harmonizers in a group. Is that right? And finally, air types are those who are planners. You need a process, you need a plan. So you need someone who plans, you need someone who creates the idea, you need someone who put it into practice, and you need someone to keep the harmony. Unfortunately, most people are water. And the downside of water, what do you think it is? The downside of earth is they're like tractors. They just run over everyone. The downside of the thinkers is they become very critical. They know, and so they can identify all of the problems, so they become very critical. And the downside of fire is that you can't hold them down. They don't like meetings. Okay, I'll come and give the idea, then I'm off. So most of us have a mixture of all of those four. Some of them are too predominant. So in this exercise, if you get more than 30 or less than 20, you should worry in any of these things. Some people have 25, 24, 26, like that, so percentage. They're balanced. So the fifth element is ether, and that's the spiritual. So I can have a top quality. I can have none of these strengths, I would call them, are bad. All of them can be spiritualized, and that's the role of ether, the spiritualization of our specialities. So if you're a planning intellect, and you become too critical, you can spiritualize that. You can take into account everyone's process. If you are a fire, creative type person, thinking ideas and but at the same time very impatient, you can spiritualize that. So the whole idea is to work with others and to compensate the strengths and weaknesses by spiritualizing the strengths so that the weaknesses are irrelevant. And that's the idea. So there's a whole exercise in this course that helps people understand who they are and who they're working with, right? If you sit with a group of fire people, the meeting lasts 10 minutes. You sit with a group of water people, the meeting lasts 3 hours and they're still having their cup of tea. It's interesting to see who are the people you work with and how to compensate for the. So let's say someone is more predominantly air, wants the details, and there you are just explaining the idea without any detail. He won't be happy. But then if you're a detail person explaining all of the details for someone who's just interested in the harmony, it won't work. So it's very interesting that we can do this, right? Now, I want to show you something here. Yeah. Some of us think that we are super Brahmins, right? But the reality is this one. Some of us think that we are just charging ahead, really full of energy, but the reality is this one. That's why, you know, this is probably where we can sort of cut off here. Self-deception. Just as my voice is finishing, this is a really important thing that we shouldn't. We should try to be as much as possible objective about ourselves. Because if I'm purely subjective, I'll have a false vision of myself. Therefore, I will think that, you know, I'm this one and not this one. So I have to improve my vision of myself. I have to improve my vision of others. I have to improve the way I interact with others. And probably things will get much better than they are. So I want you to sit in groups of twos and threes like we've done. Look at the whole course, the whole thing. Think about what your two or three main insights have been and share. So we can give, say, 15 minutes to this. So sit in groups of twos and threes. Move closer to someone. Also, before we go into that, somebody's giving me an email address. It's no use giving it to me. There's a list in the global office, and you can put your name there. I've only got this course in Portuguese, Spanish, and English. No other language at the moment. Though I know that Marie was going to translate it into French, but I don't know if she did that. But so in Global Office, and Ricardo, I'm seeing you there, can you pick up this list this afternoon and take it down to Shantivan? We can work it out what to do with it. Thanks. So I can send all of this material in Spanish, in Portuguese, and English. That's about it. Okay, so share. 10-15 minutes. What is the main thing that you've understood from this course for you? Or main two or three things? Okay. Everything good? Feeling better than you did before the course? Very nice. So if you put your name on the slip for the material, you should also put, if it's English, you don't need to put, but if it's Portuguese or Spanish, you have to specify after your email address, okay? Would anyone like to share? the whole experience. You put your hand up, brother? Come. I was saying if only people from the down the front are coming forward, but he was sitting right up the back. What's your general feeling after the course?
Om Shanti.
Sort of mini course, really.
Yeah, it's Mahendra from Canada. I just took the very important being as a center coordinator, really, that we need to really be as a part of the family. And if you're in the family, you really care about other people's feelings, right? You love them. And I just felt that in this course, it does feel complex, to be very honest, like too much information. But I was trying to process in a very simple way, like really how do I bring that quality of leader? It's a very good flow into it. And the essence I was taking from there is just how Brahma Baba did, really. Following his footstep, if you really know that, just to follow his footsteps in a very simple way. He always kept Shiv Baba in front of him. And I like those two, the questions that the Brother Ken, you have put it. First of all, thank you so much for this valuable information. What does Baba want? Right? That's a very important question. And second, how will it benefit the family? There is no I in there. There is no I of ego in it. I mean, if we can really have just that too all the time in front of us, I think it will solve all the problem. The communication problem will be solved and our stage will be elevated and will help everyone within the family to be elevated as well. So thank you. I do have one question for you. Full course. Being a center coordinator, we haven't heard that there's a full course on this. So, any?
Yeah, I mean, the full course would give you the feeling that it's not too much information because there's a lot of practice.
That's more important, right? In as part of this course.
Yeah.
So, anytime you're having full course?
Let's see. Last time I did this course, I was in Peace Village, and I got COVID. So I was again. I had to give the course. Imagine I went to New York to give the course from my bedroom. Parler lentement. Non.
Christine, France. Merci de traduire.
Ken. Thank you very much.
J'ai beaucoup aimé l'expérience de préparer la rencontre de cœur à cœur avec Baba.
She liked very much the experience of having a heart-to-heart conversation with Baba.
J'ai ressenti du pouvoir.
Huh?
J'ai ressenti du pouvoir.
She's felt a lot of power. Alguém em português ou espanhol? Pode vir. There's one question here. Você pode falar em português. There's one question here also. So, diga.
Are you speaking Portuguese? No.
Okay, we will speak English.
Okay, you can
speak in English and then you can translate yourself.
Yeah. No, Claudia traduz. I like very much this workshop. And yesterday I think about how is the full course in 3 days, even because the experience. I think it's very important this. And for me, the main thing for all 3 days, is that I realized that how Can you develop this compromise?
Commitment.
Commitment with myself to change the way they view the situations, myself in situations and with the others. Because I'm living in the center and there are a lot of things that we have to learn to develop in ourselves to kill all the criticisms, all the things that I can do better or maybe the other can do better or something like that. So for me this is the main things to reflect and be honest, like okay. I said before. Om Shanti.
Very good. So yeah, come. We'll listen to two more and then we have to finish up. There's a question here also. It's on? It's up, yeah.
I don't think I need to say it again. My name is Kitty. I'm from London. About a good leadership. If the leader is strong, that leader would be very neutral to everything what goes on under them because they're looking from a higher stage.
That's it.
And a good leader would bring people together.
Right.
And a weak leader, everyone is separated.
That's it. Very good. One more. No? Come, Palma. From Vancouver. Up.
Okay. How we can create a model of leadership that you have in Brazil as a Lotus? What can we do individually in the center to create a leadership where everyone will matter, where everyone will be included, where everyone will be appreciated, and where all our sanskaras will be divinized?
I don't know. The thing is that I'm very close to Sister Claudia. She's from Brazil, but she looks after the center in Vancouver. But we can have a meeting about this with the center and see what we can do. We have to sit and talk and share. That's probably the only way. Somebody is asking here, please explain about Baba's touching. If it's real or not, right? You know that Baba is... It comes from Baba, not your own ego, if there are three things. If it seems like it's the best moment for that, seems right for the according to the time, you will feel an injection of happiness and other people will understand and cooperate easily. So if you have those three things, it's probably something from Baba. So if you're the only one that's happy about an idea, it's probably your own ego. But if other people become very happy to know this and it seems to be the best thing according to the time, you know, it's Baba, really. And you can see very clearly that distinction. So when we have a conversation with Baba, as I said, I have to be open for Baba's advice. So not just me filling in the blanks, right? Baba, what do you think about this and this? And I immediately come in with my own ego and I say the answer. No, I have to wait. I have to wait and wait. And then be really honestly open so that Baba's touching can help me. Yeah, Baba is real, first of all, right? And one of our biggest difficulties is that just as we have an idea about others in our minds which does not correspond with reality, it could be that we have an idea about Baba that's just our own Baba, but not Baba as he really is. So I have to really become objective in this connection with Baba. Of course, love is a subjective experience, but getting some instructions from Baba is very, very elevated thing. So I have to tune myself, I have to train myself so that I can know that Baba's helping me. Baba's behind my whatever I'm thinking, and not me. This is a beautiful, I think until the end of the cycle we'll be getting this connection with Baba better and better and better. But a quick answer was that. Happy? People cooperate? And it seems right according to the time. Okay? So let's have a minute meditation and we can go off to lunch.